For the last few weeks, both in Advent and during the Christmas season, almost all the people we've encountered in the scriptures at Mass have been Jews living in Palestine. And most of those were of humble origin or state. But today we find a radically different sort of people, Magi from the East, extremely well-educated and wealthy, and perhaps even priests in their own pagan religion. Yet, the scripture tells us that when they arrive in Bethlehem, after traveling hundreds of miles and enduring great discomfort and suffering, these great wise men, it says, prostrate themselves and do homage to the tiny, vulnerable, peasant, Jewish baby. And they offer him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And while the gifts are generous and full of meaning, they're not the greatest gifts that are offered that day. The greatest gift was not from the Magi, but to the Magi, as God gave them and the whole Gentile world the gift of his epiphany. Epiphany, which means the manifestation or the showing of himself, God, the creator of the universe, to the world as the tiny baby Jesus. Still, while today's gospel is principally a reminder of God's epiphany to the Gentiles, it also reminds us of Christ coming to his chosen people, the Jews. On Tuesday, last Tuesday, the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, we read St. Luke's account of the Jewish shepherds coming to adore the baby Jesus in Bethlehem. But today, St. Matthew also tells us about another Jew who discovered the birth of the Messiah, and that was King Herod. And King Herod was a Jew, not by race. He wasn't Hebrew, he was Idumean. He wasn't of the tribe of Jacob, a descendant of Jacob, also called Israel. But his family had converted to the Jewish religion about 100 years before the birth of Christ. So he was technically a Jew. But how different this Jew reacts to the news of the Messiah than the way the Jewish shepherds reacted. So caught up in his enjoyment of power and riches that are allowed by him by his Roman masters, instead of immediately going to worship Jesus with the Magi, he sends them on alone while he waits behind, planning how to kill Jesus. Since the days of the apostles, the church has seen herself as the fulfillment of the promises to Israel under the old covenant. The church views herself as the continuation of the chosen people, the new Israel, the new Jerusalem, under the new covenant. And in that sense, we see those who do not believe in Christ as sort of new Gentiles, those who are not members of God's people. The Magi were Gentiles. They were not Jews, but they were also the first to join the new Israel. They became the first converts, if you will. Now, as a cradle Catholic, I've always been amazed and awed by converts, especially those who come from among the new Gentiles, who don't believe at all. And especially the Magi of our day, who come to Christ not by from birth, but by a diligent search for the truth. And of course, I'm also impressed by the cradle Catholics and other cradle Christians who, like the shepherds, humbly accept the gift promised to their ancestors and hand it on to them as a rich inheritance. But what about us, those of us Catholics, cradle Catholics, who act less like the shepherds than they act like King Herod? King Herod, who was a member of the chosen people, yet treated the fulfillment of God's promise as if it were the announcement of a plague. I think many of us go back and forth between being shepherds and being Herods. We live in a world that is more and more like the world the Magi came from, than the world that the shepherds came from, a world of Gentiles or new Gentiles. But still, Christ remains the light of that world. As the prophecy of Isaiah tells us, and it's still true today, Jerusalem, it says, your light has come. See, darkness covers the earth, but upon you the Lord shines. Nations shall walk by your light. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. In the midst of the darkness of a non-Christian and even anti-Christian values and culture, a culture that we Christians too often let affect and even dominate our lives, Christ is still the light that shines on us. And if we look carefully, we will see millions of people who are gathering to come to the light. Like the Magi, these wise men, the wise men following the bright star, the light piercing the darkness, every day we encounter people who are searching for the truth, for wisdom, for salvation, for a Savior. They're searching for Jesus Christ, even if they don't know they're searching for Him. But when we encounter them, do we meet them like the humble shepherds and lead them like the shepherds led the sheep to the manger? Or do we meet them as King Herod met the Magi? When the Magi came searching for Christ, Herod sent them on alone to Bethlehem. How many times do we have the opportunity to lead someone who's looking for the fullness of truth about Jesus, and we send them on their way or allow them to go on searching without giving them anything but the most cursory kind of help? Herod points to Bethlehem and says, you know, when you find him, let me know. Herod should have taken them. He should have led the way to Bethlehem. And so should we today. But to do that, to assist the seeker of truth toward conversion, is difficult because it involves a sacrifice of time and energy. It involves a sacrifice of giving of ourselves. Today's gospel tells us that the Magi gave gifts to the baby Jesus, and tradition tells us that each of these gifts has a special meaning. The gold represented the kingly riches that the newborn king deserved. The frankincense represented the incense which should be burned before Jesus, symbolic of our prayers of adoration to him. And the myrrh, a spice used in ancient times to prepare the dead for burial, tells us that Christ, that Jesus is the King and God who came into the world to suffer and to die. When Gaspar laid down his gold before Jesus, Herod should have been there to offer his gold crown to Jesus and offer him all the protection that his worldly kingship could provide. But instead he grasped at that crown, grasping after the power and feared that the child would take it away from him. We too should offer our gold to Jesus. The worldly gifts and talents and power that he gave us, we should use those to help those who seek Jesus. When Melchior offered his incense, Herod should have offered to carry the Christ child to the temple and to let him sleep in the Holy of Holies, his true home, where incense and prayer could be offered to him day and night. We too should offer Christ our incense, our prayers, prayers of adoration and prayers of intercession for those who are struggling to find him. When Balthazar laid down the myrrh, Herod should have offered to suffer with Jesus, to suffer the loss of Caesar's respect, and to die to all the power and comfort that it brought. We should also offer to suffer with Jesus, opening ourselves to the ridicule that often comes and which we so often fear when we share our faith in Christ and in his church with others. Perhaps even opening ourselves up to the loss of friends, and in some cases even the loss of employment. Herod didn't want to lose his friendship with Caesar, and he didn't want to lose his cushy job as the king of Judea. We are Christ's church. We are his people on earth, the new Israel. In Advent, we prepared for Christ's coming, and during Christmas, we celebrate that coming, the dawn of the light that shatters the darkness. But as the end of our celebration of Christmas approaches, we turn from our celebration of his coming to us and remember that he came not only to us, but to the whole world. Today we begin to focus on our vocation to assist Christ in carrying his light to a world filled with so much darkness, to those who don't know him at all and to those who know him well, but incompletely. So that as he manifests himself to the world, not simply as a star in a dark sky, but as the epiphany of his wondrous light that shatters the darkness, let us offer him our gold, all our worldly gifts. Let us offer him our incense, all our prayers rising up to him. Let us offer him our myrrh, uniting our suffering to his suffering. And so let us boldly proclaim his arrival to all we meet, with prudence and charity, but also with the clarity of the light, and without concern for any worldly pride, pleasure, or comfort. And as we move more deeply into this Holy Mass, which prepares us to go out and proclaim the gospel to the world, let us join the Magi and the shepherds and the entire church, and come, let us adore him. Let us prostrate ourselves before him and do him homage. Praise be Jesus Christ. Oh.